is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and let's start with the future of the new Wynn Resort and Casino in Everett and its uncertain future. Since casino mogul Steve Wynn was accused of sexual misconduct earlier this year and stepped down as CEO of Wynn Resorts, the big question surrounding the casino in Everett, which has been renamed Encore Boston Harbor, is will it be completed? And if it is, will it even be a casino? But a new targeted ad campaign is trying to garner support for continuing the project and all the jobs it provides. Here's a clip from one of the TV ads.
People want good union jobs and they can get it right here.
The Everett community needs these jobs.
We are so close to finishing this and we can't stop now.
We got to make sure to keep on moving forward.
Now, here to talk a little bit about this is John Carroll. He's professor of journalism at Boston University and WBUR senior news analyst. John, good to see you.
Good to be here.
So I'm interested in this ad campaign. Tell us what it's all about.
This ad campaign is basically trying to take the face of Steve Wynn off the casino
right. And
put the face of the workers onto it so that people see it in a different light and they don't see it with all the baggage that Steve Wynn brings.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about the nature of this ad campaign and who's behind it. But before we do, let's just listen to another clip from this ad campaign.
Thousands of working people in Everett are depending on the good jobs and bright future Encore Boston is making possible. Let's keep building opportunity. Let's keep building Encore. Visit buildingencore.org. Paid for by the Building Encore Coalition.
All right. Tell me about that group, the Building Encore Coalition.
Right. This is a group formed by two unions. One is Unite Here Local 26. The other one is the Metropolitan Building Trades Council. And they've come together to fund this campaign and to coordinate a campaign that basically reaches out to people who they think will support the continued construction of the casino and the operation of it by Wynn Resorts. And so basically they're going out to a very specific audience trying to deliver this message that this is all about jobs. This is not about Steve Wynn and sexual misconduct or anything like that.
Right. As we mentioned, Wynn Resorts dropped the Wynn name from the casino, renaming it Boston Encore Boston Harbor in an effort to distance the project from Steve Wynn, who has been sullied with these allegations of sexual impropriety. What's at stake here if the resort isn't built? And is that really a possibility?
I'm not sure if it's a possibility, but it seems like they're really pretty far down the road here. So,
I mean, it's a huge building looming already over Boston Harbor.
Right. This is a $2.4 billion development. And what is at stake here immediately, according to this campaign, is 4,000 union jobs that are involved with the construction. So that's what they're trying to talk about the stakes being and basically take it out of the political arena and move it into the human arena.
All right. So, John, this is a micro-targeting advertising campaign. It's been pretty low-key unless you're in one of these micro-targeted areas. Can you explain how this works? I mean, maybe start with a definition of what do we mean by micro-targeting?
Well, micro-targeting is slicing and dicing the consumer audience so that you just get particular segments of it. This is something that's done all the time on digital platforms. But in mainstream media, it's always been a little more difficult. Now they have Comcast, for instance, has what it calls geo-targeting. Hmm. So if you want to buy on the Red Sox broadcast, but you don't want everybody watching it, you want the people in Everett and South Boston and Somerville, you just buy those geo-targeted areas through Comcast. They're the only people who see the ads. The rest of the audience does not see the ads. So it's a very efficient, cost-effective way to go out and reach a very select audience.
Interesting. So how did you find out about it? If I'm right, you live in Brookline.
I live in Brookline. So I saw an article in the Boston Herald last month, and I started looking around for the campaign, and I couldn't find it. So I contacted the people at the union. They got back to me, and they said, where do you live? And I said, in Brookline. They said, we're not in Brookline.
Right.
You know, we don't want to talk to the people in Brookline. We have other people that we want to talk to. And he said, well, you know, all due respect to the people of Brookline, but, you know, that's not our target. So they are geo-targeting through Comcast, through iHeartRadio. They are talking to very specific audiences. And one of the things it does, it not only gives them an efficient way to deliver a message, but in a way it keeps this off the public radar screen. So we are the second news organization locally that's actually talking about this campaign.
Hmm.
And I think that there are advantages to that in that they're not interested, the unions are not interested in getting into a political debate about the benefits or harms of gambling, the condition of Wynn Resorts, the Gaming Commission, they don't want to talk about those things. They want to talk about jobs. And this is a way for them to control the message and also to control the or limit the terms of debate at this point.
All right. So in terms of targeting, you mentioned they're targeting Everett. That makes a lot of sense because a lot of the folks who'd be working for this casino would be in Everett. Revere? Who else? Where else are they targeting?
Well, I think they've gone where there are the strong labor union presence, but they also have gone to Beacon Hill, is my understanding, and that is to talk to lawmakers, to basically convey to them what the stakes are here and what it would mean for them to pull the rug out from under the Wynn Resorts at this stage. Wynn Resorts just made their third pre-opening payment to the city of Everett. That's a total of $30 million that they've given to Everett before they open. Mm. So the further down the road this gets, the further along the construction is, the more financial investment there is, the really more the riskier it is in terms of shifting this casino license to somebody else. Nobody even knows if that's practical. Nobody knows if somebody like MGM would want to come in and take over. It's a very tricky sort of dynamic to deal with. And I think that they're looking to try to convince lawmakers that it's in everybody's best interest just to keep going.
Right. And in terms of this very, very targeted advertising campaign, what does it say about the future of advertising, of political advertising, of advertising in general as it relates to our culture as a whole?
Well, I think what you're seeing is features of digital platforms are migrating now to mainstream media because marketers are expecting that from their marketing. They're looking to target more and more finely, more and more customized targeting all the time.
Yeah.
And so when you look at mass media, it's harder for them to compete with, say, Facebook and Google because the precision on Facebook and Google is so dominant. Hmm. But you go to mainstream media, and if Comcast can say, look, I can slice and dice this audience and give you exactly who you're looking for so that there's no wasted marketing dollars here, then it allows them to compete on a more level playing field. There's a limit to how much they can do it. But think in terms of your cable box. You know, how much information is in your cable box? They know where you've been, how long you stayed, where you went to from there. There's a gold mine inside the cable box. If they can figure out how to apply it more and more efficiently, it's going to have more and more appeal to marketers.
Last question. And, you know, with this very targeted, this slicing and dicing, is there sort of a dark side to this in the sense that being able to target exactly who you want to get to? And I think you put your finger on this a moment ago. You can avoid other groups who, I don't know, may provoke debate or dissension or discussion. So in a way, you're almost kind of shutting down a kind of public conversation about it.
Partly.
Discouraging.
This is commercial speech. So, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about political ads, that's something different.
Right.
But, you know, commercial speech is something different. I mean, they're looking eventually to try to target individual households. So essentially, I would be watching Blue Bloods on a Friday night. So are the people downstairs from me. They have two kids. They're going to get ads for Flintstones, Vitamins, and Disney World.
Right.
I'm going to get ads for Centrum Silver and AARP. You know, that's what they eventually want to do. The dream of every marketer is advertising to a market of one, an audience of one. And so if mainstream media can get closer to that, it's going to have more appeal in a time when its appeal is really slipping.
Interesting. All right. John Carroll, professor of journalism at Boston University. He's also WBUR senior news analyst. John, thanks so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.